Good morning, church. Hey, a couple things I failed to mention when I was up here before. Keep Les Winger in your prayers. He called me last night. Weird situation with his leg. He was on a scaffolding, Jesse, am I right? Doing an electrical box, and he said his leg just went like he couldn't move it. Was there a lot of pain? Yeah, pain and swelling. He said his knee actually looked like his thigh. So he went to the doctor and had it drained a considerable amount of fluid off of there. So he is laid up for at least a week. Probably, I know in less terms, he'd probably like to be about 4 days, but it may be 14 days. He's pretty immobile right now because there's just a lot of stuff going on. So just keep him in your prayers. And man, it's tough. It's tough. Okay. I'm going to talk to you today. And, of course, I didn't have anything done when Julie texted me on Friday. But I want to talk to you. I'm going to title this, Be My Child. Be My Child. And you know, and I'm going to lead in with, as most of you know, I'm pretty proud of my three daughters. So 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago this coming Wednesday, I think that's right. Yeah. I got a call from Skylar, and he normally doesn't call me. He'll shoot me a text every once in a while. I got a text from Skylar, or a call from Skylar, and he said, "Hey, Matt, where are you at?" And I said, "Well, I'm in, I don't even know where it was, Marion." And he said, "Hey, they're taking Lindsay to OSU." And he was really calm. You know, I've learned a lot about Skylar over the last 6, 7, 8 months. Dude's pretty rooted in his faith. He's pretty rooted in his belief system. And in that instance, man, I panicked. And Skylar said, "Matt, it's okay. It's okay. It's out of our hands." I said, "Boy, you don't understand. That's my daughter." He said, "Yeah, I do. It's my wife." I said, I get it. I get it. But I want you to understand that God thinks of you as his child. So that sheer panic I went through that Wednesday, and I know Skylar was calm on the outside, and he was trying to reassure me that everything was going to happen for a reason, and it just reaffirmed that this is the message I need to give because I need to hear it. Because Jesus says, let the children come to me, and we need to think as a child thinks. And there was Skylar, many, many years my younger, and he was teaching me a lesson. Now, on the outside, Skylar was calm. On the inside, he drove from Centerburg to Mount Vernon at speeds in excess of 100 miles an hour, at which I had to rebuke him when I found out. But that was a very surreal moment for Chris and I, and a very real moment because we did not know everything that was going on, and we were in no control. And I've said before, people that drive by me in my car think I'm a lunatic. Man, I had to pull over on the side of the road and I sobbed. And I asked God to just take this and handle it because that's my child. And it really hit home with me that that's what our God feels for us. When we're hurting, he's hurting. Is this on? So today we're going to be in Matthew. Well, we're going to be in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to be in Matthew. I'm going to go to Matthew 18. But before I get started, I want to go to the Lord in prayer.
because I'm probably going to need some help today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know this is a message that you've laid on my heart. I know that it's a message that we all need to hear. Lord, I ask you just to take me out of the equation and take my emotion and my role out of it and just deliver the message you want us to hear today, Lord. And Lord, give all of us ears to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're Matthew 18. And we're going to read 1 through 9. And mine is titled, The Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven. In verse 1, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In verse 2, he called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. In verse 6, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. That is the importance of children. And I think it's fitting that the disciples asked this question at this time because, man, they were out and they were seeing Jesus do all these things. You know, making people walk, making people see, healing people that were bleeding, healing people that were dying, raising people from the dead. And yet they asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom? And I can see Jesus at this point, and I envision him just sitting there, talking to his disciples, and just calling this little child to him, and plopping him right there on the knee and saying, this is the greatest in the kingdom. Why? Because as children, we just believe what our parents tell us, right? You know, my dad used to tell me things, and I used to think, man, that's just the way it is, because that's what my dad said. And we talked with the kids today, they're young adults, in Sunday school, and we talked about Jesus' ministry and where he was and what all he was doing and who he was with, and always my process with this is the responses Jesus has to all those questions always center around us. Okay? It always comes back to us. When Jesus healed the guy that was paralyzed, why did he say he was healed? Because of his faith and his belief that Jesus could do it. And we need to have faith of a child. You know, and I did not see the eclipse on Monday. I I was witnessing my own miracle. I took Lindsay down and to OSU, and you know, I was not leaving the NICU at that point because I have so many questions. These nurses hate me because Lindsay's overwhelmed. Okay, she's overwhelmed. She's trying to be a mom and she's doing great, but me, I'm like, man, that's my kid. And this little dude, he's my guy, right? He's my guy. Because I'm telling you, if you've not experienced being a grandparent, I'm proud of my kids. But man, the moment I laid eyes on this boy, my heart just melted. My heart melted. And as I spent some time praying over him and watching what was going on, and man, I just had a peace. I just had a peace because I knew he was going to be A-okay. I mean, Skylar and I were there. He was born at 2:36 in the morning. And Skylar and I went back, and we were there about 3:15 because Chris was handling the Lindsay front as she was coming out of the epidural and coming out of the pain blocker and all that, and I saw the first start of that, and I was like, I got to be out of here. I can't watch my kid go through that. Chris is stronger than I am. There's no doubt about that. So Skylar and I went to the NICU, and they were doing Beckett's original, I don't know what they call it. You nurses would be able to tell me. But what is it? Apgar. They were doing his Apgar test. And I mean, this dude's, you know, this big, right? And it's remarkable to me, and I just stood in awe of our God, because when I looked at this dude, his fingers, his hands did not look small. And they put their hand here, and you know what that dude's response was? I mean, he's almost 6 weeks from supposed to be being born. And he processed that, and I was like, God is so good. But he has Beckett in his hands. And I know that there's no worries. Okay? That's how Jesus felt about the children here. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. And this is kind of repetitive, but I think it's important that we hear both translations of this, because I think one does a little more explicit job of explaining. And again, Mark goes into a little more detail here. We're going to go 42 to 50. And this is, again, causing causing, if anyone causes you to stumble, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble. So what do I want you to take from that? Jesus is calling me one of those little ones. Okay? I am a little one to Jesus, to God. I am under his protection. Those who believe in me, so all Christians are little ones. It would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were drowned in the sea. Anybody know what a millstone is? Here's the best way I can tell you this. It looks like a donut. And they put it over their shoulders, over their head. And I don't know the weight of it. I didn't research that. But it's concrete. Okay? So they put that on your head and throw you into a sea. What are you going to do? You're going to drown. You're going to drown. Not a good way to go. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell. And this is why we're here in Mark, where the worms that eat them do not die, and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Verse 50, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. There's a lot of explicit there in Mark. And again, I'll go back to Sunday school. The kids, we talked about, you know, various ways to die and the most fearful ways to die. And Brody had a great answer, and it's one Brody and I might be like doppelgangers. Brody might be my doppelganger, because he said the worst way to die is falling off a cliff. And I said, have you ever had that dream? And he said, yeah. I said, every time I'm getting sick, I have that dream where I'm running and I fall, and I'm just falling. There's no end. I understand where Brody's coming from. And usually I jerk myself awake at night and I wake up sweating. And that's how I know I got a fever. I'm getting sick. I have it. I've had it since I was 5. I have it still. So 45 years later, 47 years later. But the other two ways that we brought up were drowning and fire. Okay? If fire is a terrible way to die, do you really want to live there eternally? I cannot imagine the misery. You know, I've burnt my finger before on doing stupid stuff, as my wife will tell you, starting a fire with gasoline or kerosene or whatever. I get too close and it burns. I don't like the pain. I sure don't want to live there in eternity. Okay? So that tells you, man, these dudes that are leading Christians astray, these dudes that are false profiting, I don't want to be one of those. Because can you imagine the pain of cutting your foot off on your own? Or plucking your eye out on your own? That would be better than living in eternity, is what it says. You'd be further ahead to cut your foot off than to live in eternity in hell. You know, and Les going through that deal with his knee, I'm sure it hurts a ton. I'm sure he'd think, okay, I'd rather live without my knee than live eternity of this. That is how powerful God thinks of each and every one of you. Luke 18. And I think I've kind of hit the last of it here. I want to go to this. This is one of my favorite premonition, or one of my favorite visions I have of Jesus during his time. And, you know, there's a lot of them. The fact that when people were so crowded around Jesus that they had to lower a guy through the roof of a ceiling to be healed just so they could get close. That's a great story. That's a great picture in my mind. Or, you know, the woman falling to touch his cloak and being healed by that. I can see all that. I don't know what it looks like, but I can place myself there, and I can see that woman falling, and I can see Jesus feeling just a brush on his side in a crowd of people and saying, who touched me? Okay? I want you to understand, Jesus knows everything there is to know about you. And he loves you anyway. But right here, little children in Jesus. Verse 15. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone will not receive the kingdom of God. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Guys, sometimes our adult lives screw things up. Sometimes we as adults screw things up. We make things too hard. We make things, you know, if I had a poll of all the kids in the church, say, why do you believe in Jesus? Because I do. Because I do. As adults, we try to rationalize and we say, oh, Jesus, I believe in you when this happens, but I don't believe in you so much when this happens. And we screw all that up because we overthink everything. You know what God wants from us? To know that that happened. To know that He rose from the dead. And to believe it wholeheartedly. No matter what else life throws at us. Know that we're okay. Because God's got His hand on us. And you know, maybe this was not a message you needed to hear. Maybe this was not a maybe this was a message I just needed to hear. Because for 2 weeks I've heard it. For 2 weeks I've heard it. I've had a 25-year-old kid tell me it's going to be okay. God's in control. And I'm a weeping fool. Because I'm worried about my child. And now I'm worried about my grandchild. But I got a 25-year-old kid saying, hey, it's all good. God's got it. I learned a lot from him. And he's not here today to... Usually I bust on him pretty good. You know, the red hair, the red beard. I call him the guy from the... What's his name? The guy from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Cornelius. That's my pet name for Skyler, because that's my vision of him just sitting there with an ice pick and licking it. I mean, he's strange. But I don't give him enough credit because he's a rock. He's a rock. And I learned a lot from him. You know, during Shelby's wedding, he was the rock. He was the guy that got everybody to where they were supposed to be. He was there for Nate. He was there for Shelby. He was back in the bridal suite, kicked back, drinking a tea, and just hanging out with the girls. And then he came over to the guys' bridal suite, and he's like, hey, what do you guys need? I'm here to do whatever. And it was just pretty cool to see his growth process. And I call him one of mine as well. I'll claim him as one of my children. And I am very, very proud of all four of them, five of them, Nate included. But that just leads me back to God looks down at me and he sees me as his child. And know that he is proud of you. And at the end of the day, when we see God come again, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. But we need to understand that we're going to fall short. We're going to fall terribly short. We don't deserve to hear that. At the end of our life, or I don't. Maybe the rest of you do, and that's great. But I think at the end of the day, we're all broken sinners. But God sees us as His child. And I get emotional, I get tore up. Understand, I'm not scared of what's going on. I'm not scared of It's just pretty powerful that I know God thinks of me the way I think of my daughters and my son-in-laws. but he thinks of me greater than that because I can't comprehend his love. Here's what I'll tell you. He endured that for me so that I don't have to cut off my foot. He endured that to cover everything I do. And there's no greater love than the love he has for us, his children. Those of you that parents that are parents understand it. Those of you that are grandparents understand it tenfold. Because if I got to break the little dude out, because his mom's going to go nuts if they don't let him out when he gets to his weight. The worst thing they did was they told Lindsay, when he gets to 4 pounds, he can sit in the car seat for an hour without his respiration going down. We're going to send him home. Well, yesterday morning I was down with him, and the night nurse told me a whole different story, and I'm just making sure I relay messages if I'm told something. And she said, yeah, babies usually stay till their due date. And Lindsay was like, oh, that's not going to happen. I'll fight him. I said, well, listen, you're not smuggling Beckett out of there. So you're at the mercy of the doctors and the nurses. But I understand where she's coming from because now she is a parent and she understands unfailing love. And now she understands the love her mom has for her and I have for her. But more importantly, she, I think, now understands the love that her Lord has for her. And that makes me really happy. And every one of you that understand that, that makes me so happy because I don't want to see anybody live in anguish for eternity. Anybody. All right, let's pray, and then we'll praise team will be here. We'll offer a time of invitation. If anybody wants to know more about that love, Jesse and I will be here. And you know, it's a pretty simple thing. We got to think of it as a child thinks of it. We got to love him for what he did, and we got to take him for what he says is true and go out and persevere through everything, knowing how much he loves us. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you that we are your children. Lord, we thank you that you feel the love for us that we feel for our kids. Lord, we know that it's that love that you have for us is tenfold or a hundredfold or a thousandfold for what we can feel, and that's hard for us to comprehend. But at the end of the day, when you look at us, you see one of your children. And we know through the scriptures that, man, you got our back. You got our front. You got our whole body. You're carrying us in our hand. And it's hard for us to imagine just how small we are to you. But Lord, we love you and we thank you for that. And we also know that your love is never ending and never failing. Even as human beings, we sometimes fail our loved ones. Lord, we know that you and your love never, ever ceases or fails. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise and glory. In your name we pray. Amen.